going to read one scripture real quick, and then we'll pray and we'll sit down. In Matthew 22:14, it says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Father God, I just pray, God, that tonight, God, you would speak through me, God. I know that this is a word that you gave me, God, for this church, God. I pray, God, that you would show us all, God, that you've chose us, that you've called us, God, and it's our choice and to answer that call, God. I pray that you would have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys could give your neighbor a high five, or you could just sit down. You guys messed up. And then sit down. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, worship team. All right. Well, tonight, if you're taking notes, the title of my message is "I Know I'm Chosen." Amen. But before we get into it, I just want to thank my pastor for this opportunity. It's a privilege to be behind this pulpit. I do not take it lightly. And amen. So tonight, I'm going to read that again. In Matthew 22:14, it says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." I read that real slow for like effect. You like that? Many are called, but few are chosen. So what does this mean? You know, when I first heard that many are called, but few are chosen, I kind of struggled with this scripture. And I was thinking, like, that kind of sounds like the same thing. Like, you're called, you're chosen. But after some studying, it's like this. If someone calls me and says, "Hey, Dre, I want you to come to my house for this party." They called me. But to be chosen is they call me and they say, "Hey, Dre, I want you to come to my house for this party." But then I accept that call and I show up. That's what it means to be chosen. So when to be chosen is to answer the call to service. And tonight, my message is going to be about answering the call to service. What is the call of God? Of course, the call of God is salvation, right? But it also means to... To ask Jesus in the heart, but also to serve Jesus and to serve people, amen? Just like we heard Larry sing a special, love God and love people. That's the call of God, to love God, to serve people, to love people. And tonight I want to talk about answering the call to service. If you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew 22, that same portion, but we're gonna go up and we're going to read that parable. Verse 1, Matthew 22, 1. Before I go on, everybody turn around. I want everybody to look in the back. And you see these tables back there. And what these tables are for, we're going to challenge you later on in the service, but what these tables are for, this is called a ministry fair. And we have the different ministries of our churches that are represented here tonight. And, you know, something we did in our leadership classes, if you're in leadership classes, give me a little wave. All right. But we challenge our leaders to a 90-day challenge, to sign up for two different ministries and serve in that ministry for 90 days. And the reason we challenge them is because we believe that if you have any desire to be a leader, it's going to take you to be a servant. Amen? And so after service, we're going to be signing up for services. If you feel called, you know, maybe you say I could help in this area or this area, we want you to sign up and help serve. Amen. Matthew 22, 1 through 14, it says, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servant to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it. And they went their ways, and one to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized the servant. They treated them spiteful, and they killed him. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go to the highways, and as many as you can find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out to the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. He said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servant, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' Then it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. So here in this story, what it's saying is, it says the kingdom of heaven is like this wedding feast where the king was about to present his son for marriage. How many know that the king, our God, presented his son for us? Amen. And during this feast, he said, go and invite these people. So they went out and they invited them. And the people, they kind of just took it like it was just not a big thing. One went back to his farm, one went back to normal business. And so the king said, okay, I want you to go out and invite them again. Because how many of you know that God is a God of second chances, right? And third and fourth and fifth. Come on. How many of you guys have ever had a second chance from God, right? All of us. And so he went out and he said, invite them again. So they went out. But this time the people, they got crazy. How many of you guys have ever got crazy? Uh-oh. They got crazy and they said they seized them. And they began to murder them. They began to act spiteful to them. So the king was frustrated and he said, the wedding is ready. It's ready. We've already killed the calf. We've already set the table. Everything is ready. So this is what he said. He said, go out to the highways and to the byways, find whoever you can and just get them to come in. Right? So they went out, the servants went out and they started inviting different people in and they had this wedding, and these people that were willing to answer the call were able to see the king's son, right? And you know, it's the same with us. When we're willing to answer the call of God, we're able to get salvation. We're able to get our lives turned around. We're able to see our families restored. We're able to be able to hold a job. We're able to get off drugs, right? We're able to see God work in our life, right? I love the way this ends. It says, for many are called, but few are chosen. And tonight, my whole message tonight is to tell you that you're chosen. That you're not just someone that's called upon, but you're chosen. But to be chosen means to answer the call. The call went out to whoever they could find, right? So Jesus commanded each and every one of us. How many of you guys know that when he said, go ye into all the world, he was talking to each and every one of us. In Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. How many know that when it says to make a disciple, it means more than just inviting someone to church, right? To make a disciple is to invest into somebody, right? It's to spend your time on them, to spend your talents. Come on, buy them coffee, buy them lunch, spend your treasures to really invest into somebody. And that was a command that Jesus gave us all. He said, when he chose us, he said, go ye and make disciples to all men. In Matthew 20:26-28, he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So tonight, I have 3 points, if you're taking notes, on answering your call to service. And tonight, I am going to talk about David. So when we talk about David, what do we think of? We think of the guy that killed Goliath, right? We think of a worshiper. We think of a man who was after God's own heart, one of the craziest and mightiest warriors in the battle. He had David's mighty men. They would go in and take people out, right? He was a soldier, right, for Israel. But one of the things that we don't see a lot, when I think of David, I think of David as a servant. And the first point is, and to answering your call, is to be about your Father's business. Before we see David get anointed king as a young man, the Lord spoke to this prophet named Samuel, and he said, I want you to go into Jesse's house, and I want you to anoint one of his sons to be the next king. And so Jesse gets all his sons. He invites all of his sons to this anointing service, right? Because the prophet came in, talked to Jesse, invites them all in there, and the prophet begins to look at the kids. He looks at the oldest kid first because, you know, the oldest one is the one that's in line to take over, right? So he looks at him and said, man, this guy looks good. This is going to be it. And then God's having this conversation with him while he's looking at the guy. He's like, don't look at that. I look at the heart, right? But David, before any of that, he wasn't even invited, right? They invited all of the kids except for David. And this is what it says. David was tending his father's sheep. He was about his father's business. And how many of you know that if you want to be chosen from God and you want to answer the call, you got to be about your father's business. If you want to be used by God, it's simple. Just be about his business, right? When Jesus was a young boy, his parents didn't know where he's at for a few days. It was kind of crazy because Jesus was the Messiah, right? His parents knew this. And somehow, as they're traveling back, they don't realize that Jesus is gone. Now, if you had the Messiah as your son, you'd probably want to take pretty good care of him, right? I think it says, like, they were there for a day and a half before they even realized he wasn't with them. Like, they lost the Messiah. And then they went back, and then where they found him was in the temple. And they found him, and he said, I'm about my father's business. See, the animals of that day, it showed the wealth of the people. So David wasn't only taking care of the sheep, but he was taking care of his father's money. Really dry mouth tonight, sorry. He was doing what his father asked. Imagine being in a position where the rest of your family was chilling with the prophet of God at this anointing service. They just made a sacrifice. They were all about to seek God together. And imagine all your families there and you weren't invited. It reminds me of this one time I was working a firework tent in Raton. This is way before we were doing them here. It was like, I think I was like 15 years old. And I remember I was working this firework tent, and I think it was the 4th of July, and my bosses, they came up to me, and they're like, their bosses weren't going to pay them. Something happened, and they're like, they're not going to pay us. You're not getting paid. And they're like, if we have to pay you out of our pocket, we'll do it, whatever. So they said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get one of those big, giant trash bags full and fill it with whatever fireworks that you want, and we're still going to try to pay you, right? So I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, this is going to be the best 4th of July I've ever had, right? We didn't have a lot of money. We'd get some black hats, and we'd get some sparklers, right? But this was going to be the best 4th of July ever. So I have this huge bag of fireworks, and I call my brother, and I say, hey, come get this because I don't want them staying in my car. So he comes, and he grabs this huge trash bag of fireworks. He takes it to our house. And I'm like super excited. I can't wait to get off. I had to work till like 11 that night. I'm like ready to get home because I have all these fireworks. I've never been able to afford an $80 firework. And I have like a whole bag full of them, right? And so when I called my brother and told him to pick up the fireworks, he took it like, hey, come get these fireworks. I'm going to hook you up. And I was saying, come get these and take them to the house. So when I get home, it was the best 4th of July ever, right? They did all the fireworks. It was the best 4th of July ever. My family was all there. We had all my cousins there. But guess what? I missed it because I was at work and they lit all of my fireworks. They didn't even save me like one black cat. Not even one. And it was supposed to be the best 4th and it was not. Let's just say that. But imagine David being at this anointing server with the prophet of God. He's there, and he has to be with the sheep. Imagine David not being invited to the very thing where he was about to get anointed to, right? So when David could have felt upset, or he could have been mad. Maybe he was humble and just been like, you know, I'm just about my father's. But the Bible doesn't say, but I could imagine being the only son not getting invited. And in 1 Samuel 16:11, it says, so he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He's tending the sheep, Samuel said. Send for him, for we will not sit down till he arrives. This dry mouth is not working. He's tending the sheep, it said. He was serving. He was doing what his father had told him to do. And all we have to do is serve God and do what he says. Later on, you see that his father tells him to go serve the king, to go play his harp for him. And then later, his dad says, take food to your brothers. And then every time his dad asks him to do something, David says, yes, sir, I got you. What do you need me to do? You want me to tend the sheep? I got you. You need me to take my brother's food? I got you. You need me to go play for the king? I got you. And while he was playing for the king, he said he was going back and forth. So he was working for the king and he was tending the sheep. So he was doing like double duty. But he was about his father's business. And how many know that if we want to answer the call and we want to be faithful servants to God, we got to be about our father's business. Amen? When God tells us to do something, do it. If he says, you know, I want you to witness to this person, just do it. If he says, I want you to pray for this person, just do it. Be about your father's business. The second point is you have to have heart. Now, Samuel the prophet was having a conversation with God, and he was going through each of the brothers and who they're going to anoint next. And he looked at all of his brothers and he said, well, this guy's tall. He might be the king. And this guy's handsome. This guy's strong. This guy's got a strong mind. And the prophet's looking in the natural. And then God tells him in 2 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, for man looks at the outward, and God looks at the heart. How many know that when we talk about the heart, it's almost always associated with love? When you want to tell someone you love them, you get on your phone and you send them a little heart, right? I heart you. Our Victory Outreach shirts say, I heart ABQ. What does that mean? It means I love Albuquerque. I'll serve Albuquerque. I love you, right? So it's this when he says he looks at the heart, it shows that David loved God. And we know this because in the book of Psalms, David wrote all these Psalms, right? But the way that he would speak in the Psalms, it showed his love by two things, by his dependence on God and by his worship towards God. In Psalms 143, it says, O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to me cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. He was dependent on God. He said stuff like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he worshiped God. He said in 145:1, he said, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you. I will extol your name forever and ever. And in Psalm 63, he said, which begins, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water, and finishes. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouth of liars be silenced. See, the Bible is clear that David loved God. The Bible says in Acts 13:22, after removing Saul, he made David their king. And then it said, God testifies concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. But this is the part I like right here. It says, he will do everything I want him to do. He will do everything I want him to do. How many know if you love somebody, you're going to do what they want you to do, right? I love my kids. If they want to go to ONG, I'm going to figure a way to get them there, right? I love my kids. If they need something, I'm going to help them, right? How many of you guys love your kids, right? You're going to do whatever, your grandkids, your family, your moms, your dads, your brothers. The people that you love, you want to do for. Because that shows, love's an action word, right? It shows that you love them. It says, he will do everything I want him to do. Well, how many, if God was talking about you, he would say, he will do everything I want him to do. That's a heavy statement, because sometimes it's hard for us to even get to church. Sometimes it's hard for us to pray. Sometimes it's hard for us to read. Sometimes we're struggling and it's not easy to have the joy of the Lord. But he said, he will do everything I want him to do. See, David was a worshiper. He was a warrior. He was a giver. David gave the biggest offering in the whole Bible. When he was about to build the temple, he gave the biggest offering. Come on, if you give to something, that means you love it. I love this church, so I give to this church. I love this church. If you love this church, you should give. You should even sweat it. Like, my tithes, that's what God says to give. Offering, easy. United We Can, easy, because I love this. I love to see when this altar call is filled and people are getting saved for the first time. Come on, don't you love that? Isn't that what we do this for? To reach souls, to reach people? When the men's home starts to fill up, that's awesome. When the women's home is filling up, that's what we live for, right? When people's lives are changed and turned around, and you start seeing people serve, start seeing people change, like, that's what we live for. It's going to take being about our Father's business. It's going to take heart. And my third point is, it's going to take your service and your giftings. Has anybody ever finished the whole water while they're preaching? I think I'm going to tonight. It's going to take your service and your giftings. It says, after David was anointed king, guess what? He didn't go straight to the palace to rule, right? Imagine being anointed king. You're the king, right? You're going to be the next king, and then having to go back with the sheep. He didn't go straight to the palace. He went back to the sheep, back to his father's business, back to serving, back to just taking care of sheep. He didn't go to the palace right away. The Bible says that the Spirit of God departed Saul, and it left a tormenting spirit on him. And Saul asked one of his servants, do you know someone that plays the harp, that when they play, the spirit would leave? And this is what the servant said in verse 18. One of my servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine looking man, and the Lord is with him. Let me know that David's giftings opened up an opportunity for him to serve the king. When he would play, the evil spirit would leave. Let me know that his servants and his giftings took him from serving sheep to serving the king. Let me know that our gifts will make a way, but it's going to be our character that keeps us, right? Our gifts will get us on stage to rap. Our gifts will get us on stage to act. Our gifts will get us an audience or a crowd, but it's your character that's going to keep you. And David was someone that he just said, you know what, whatever I could do, I'm going to do it. How's God going to trust you with big things if he can't trust you with little things? Before he ever got a chance, he needed to be faithful to the sheep. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, 12 through 20, it says, David was the son of Jesse. He was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was very old. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to war. The firstborn was Eliab. The second was Abinadab. The third was Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, and David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep in Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. And Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread to your brothers and hurry to the camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the flock in care of the shepherd. He loaded up and set out, and as Jesse had directed, he reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting war cries. So here we see David still obeying his father. Hey, David, I need you to take this bread and your cheese to your brother. David says, yes, I got you. He's still there. He's still obeying his father. He's showing heart. He said, God, I love you, Dad. Whatever you need, I got you. He's serving the sheep. He's serving the king. He's going back and forth. He's doing 2 jobs, right? Because if you've ever worked 2 jobs, it's a lot. It's hard. He was doing it with all of his heart. He was being faithful in the little. And his dad tells him, I just want you to take your brothers this food. So he did it. So in saying yes to take his brother this food, this opened up an opportunity for him to win a war for his people. So his gifting got him in front of the king, and his service gave him an opportunity to fight a battle, right? Imagine if he told his dad, you know what, I'm sick of watching these sheep. Or imagine if he said to his brothers, you know, my brothers are warriors. They could get their own food. But he was humble, and he said, you know what, whatever you need. You need me to do this, I got you. You need me to do this, I got you. He didn't just obey his father. He said, whatever I can do. He said, you need me to take care of these sheep, Dad? I got you. You need me to take this food? I got you. It'd be like here in the church if you said, hey, Mark, you need my help in the parking lot? I got you. Hey, Gary, you need my help with the ushers? I got you. Pastor Pat, you need my help with the gang? I got you. Candace, you need my help with the kids? I got you. Come on, how many of you guys got God's back? Come on. How many of you guys are going to say, you know, whatever you need, I got you. The Bible said that David would do whatever God wanted him. Whatever God wanted him. The scripture I read in Acts 13:22, whatever I want him to do, he will do. His attitude was that whatever the Father needs, I got you. He's willing to serve, and his service opened up an opportunity for greatness. You could come to the keyboard. This is what I want us to do. I want everybody to stand. And I want you guys just to close your eyes for a minute as I talk about this last part. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. And that simply means, are you going to answer the call? Are you going to be the one that says, God, I'm going to answer the call? Come on, everybody stand to your feet. And I want everybody to close your eyes just for a second. What's funny to me about this whole story and about David is, David wasn't even invited to the anointing party, and he was the one anointed. David wasn't even a part of the war, and he's the one that won the battle. And you know, I know that there's some of you here that you feel like I haven't been a part of the service to this church. Or I haven't been a part like I should. I haven't been serving people. I haven't been serving you, God. And I know there's probably some here that are saying, I'm just trying to make it. I'm just trying to live day by day. I'm just trying to get off drugs. I'm just trying to not talk back to my men's home and women's home director when they tell me what to do. And, you know, some of us are just, we're just like, I just want to make it. But David wasn't a part of the anointing service, and he wasn't a part of the battle, but he was the one that God used to win it. He was the one that God anointed. And, you know, just like David wasn't anointed and wasn't a part of the battle, God is calling some of us to step in, to say, you know what, God, I got your back. God, I'm ready to serve. God, I'll take care of your sheep. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And tonight, this is what we're going to do. Before I even call this altar call, I just want us to close our eyes. And as Siobhan sings this song, it's real simple. This song is the whole point of this whole message. As she sings this, I just want you to listen to these words. Just embrace what this song is saying.
I know I'm chosen for something great. I hear you call my name.
You know it, sing it, not listen. This is what we're going to do for the altar call tonight. This is what I want. Everybody keep your eyes closed. This is what we're going to do. Maybe you're in here and you say, you know what? I haven't been a part of the service of serving people or serving God like I should. Or maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I don't even know what you're talking about, Dre. I just want what everybody else has in this place. I want to know God as my personal Savior. And if that's you, just real quick, wave your hand at me. If you say, I need Jesus in my life, just wave your hand at me. Amen. Amen. I see your hands. And then the second part of my altar call, this is what I want. It says, this song says, I know that I'm chosen. And some of us have been here for way too long, and maybe at one point we were serving, or maybe one point we were ready to serve, and Satan came and he made it, took us out. But you know what? How many of you know that God is a God of second chances? And today what we're going to do is we're going to say, God, I want to answer the call. I know that I'm chosen. I know that you've called me, God. So if that's you, we're going to open up these altars as we begin to sing this song. I just want us to really go in. Maybe you said, I'm not going all out like I have been. Maybe I'm kind of just going through the motions. Maybe I'm just here and I know that God has more for me. This is what we're going to do. We're going to come up here and say, God, I know that I'm chosen. I know that you called me, and it's time for me to answer that call. Yes, God, we praise you. This is what we're gonna do. If you said, you know what, I know I'm chosen, but I need God in my life. If you were one of those ones that waved to me and said, I need salvation tonight.